Let's pull out our Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 2. 2 Samuel chapter number 2. And let's read the first four verses here. 2 Samuel 2, begin reading verse number 1. It says here, "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord." I ought to highlight that or underline that. "Saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah." Okay? That's important. "And they anointed him as king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul." We'll leave off reading there for now. You know, it's no secret that we live in a very unstable world. There's instability in nations. There's instability in finances. Man, if you there's instability all over the place. You see in the news. I thank God that in spite of all the changes that we see taking place, He doesn't change. Amen. And Psalm 102 reminds us of this. And Psalm 102 verse 25 says, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." So God doesn't change. Even though we live in an unstable, changing world, God wants to be the stabilizing influence in our lives. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be established. One thing every believer should desire is to be established in the Lord. Amen? We all desire to be established in the Lord and be established in our faith. So, and what I'm talking about is being established so that nothing can rock you. You know, changes can take place, and they're going to take place. But you are planted upon the Lord, and you have your faith in Him. We as believers should seek to be strong, stable, and firm in the faith. However, for many believers, their lives seem to be filled with nothing but ups and downs. And instead of being established, they feel like their life is a roller coaster. It's filled with twists and turns and highs and lows. And, you know, every now and then they get a little off center. They're not where they need to be at in their walk with God. Scripture says in 1 Peter 5:10, "The God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." So the Lord wants to mature us, perfect us. He wants to establish us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to settle us. But, you know, sometimes it takes the things that are going on around us, all the changes that we see taking place, for God to use those things for us to depend on Him to make that settling influence in our lives. Now, God's desire for us is that we be established. And in our text, we find that David, after the king of death of King Saul, was anointed once again as king over Judah. You say, wait a minute. I thought he was supposed to be king over all of Israel. He is. He is, and that's still yet to come. But here we see a little bit of division. And I think this is a premonition, really, of the division that's going to come later in Rehoboam's day. You're going to have the two tribes that's going to split off to the south, and the 10 tribes are going to split off to the north. You're going to have a division that's going to take place. But in David has been anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. But all of Israel's not accepting of that at this particular juncture. What we see is that Judah is the tribe of Judah, and we know that David was later brought into the throne room after he was anointed by Samuel there in Bethlehem and anointed to be king over Israel. He was brought into the throne room to play his harp for Saul. We find him later fighting Goliath, marrying Saul's daughter, and then spending several years on the run in fear of his life because of the threats that have been made against him by Saul, King Saul. And through all of that, can't you imagine that the kingdom must have seemed like, boy, that's just a pipe dream. You know? It's just far, far away. And from a human standpoint, if he was just looking at it from a human standpoint, he's like, it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, I've been anointed to be king, but it just don't look like it's ever going to happen. But who is the one who had him to be anointed king? It was God. The Lord is the one that told Samuel to anoint him. And the Lord is the one that had given him the promise that he was going to rule. Nothing changed the fact that David was God's anointed man. God was going to establish David into his kingdom, but it was going to take place in God's own timing, not David's timing. God's plan included placing David on the throne of Israel and establishing him and blessing and the calling that God had for him. God was going to fulfill his purposes in and through David just as he said he would. And we need to understand that just as David was established in God's purposes for him, in spite of all the troubles he faced, even so, God desires that we be established in our faith in the midst of this troubled world that we live in. I mean, it's just really getting topsy-turvy right now. You see all the big wheels falling into government and on TV news and Hollywood. All these people are being brought down. Just over accusations. A lot of it has no real proof that's there. It's just accusations. And I saw that today, Matt Lauer, not defending him whatsoever in the least, but just an accusation. He lost his job just like that. From making millions of dollars to zero overnight. And just on accusation of something that's happened in the past. Now, we see that we need to understand that we in our lives are to be established in faith. The Bible says in Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. We're to be established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, last time we were in 2 Samuel, a couple of weeks ago, we saw how David received the news of Saul and Jonathan's deaths and grieved over them. It was just a... Look back to chapter 1 for just a moment. It was just 2 days after he got back to Ziklag. Look at verse number 1. So now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. It came to pass that even on the third day, behold, a man came out of the camp. So he's had a lot on his plate. You know, this time of year we can get a lot on our plate, can't we? I mean, from Thanksgiving all the way through New Year's. I don't know how your life is, but it's kind of like we need to slow it down just a little bit. You know, there's just so much going on. And you're trying to fit it all in. Well, David had a lot going on. Look at what's happened to David. He's come back. Was not from being with the Philistines, and they wouldn't let him fight with them. He got sent back to Ziklag. As soon as he gets to Ziklag, he finds out everything's been destroyed. It's been burned with fire. All the family and all the stuff that they had carried off. And so he has to go pursue, fight the Amalekites, kill them, get all their stuff back, go back to Ziklag, and there they go to a burned down town. Okay? What are they going back to? Everything's been burnt. And so they're probably living in tents at this juncture. I mean, there's no houses. Everything's been burned. 3 days in, he's there, and he finds out Saul and Jonathan and other two sons of Saul had been killed. And, you know, now he's consumed with grief. He loved Saul. He loved Jonathan. And, you know, in spite of Saul, what Saul wanted to do to him, he still, you know, he looked up Saul. And we see that the news of Saul and Jonathan's death came to him. He grieved over them. And the text this week shows us three responses from David after hearing of Saul's death that allowed God to establish him in the place that God wanted him to be, a place of great blessing as the king of Israel. And we see, first of all, okay, it says there in verse number 1 of chapter 2, and it came to pass after this, okay, after they grieved, you know, we looked at that grief that they suffered there in chapter number 1, after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? I mean, he was the one supposed to replace Saul. He kind of knew that, right? He'd been anointed. Okay, Lord, what you want me to do? What am I to do? And the Lord said, yeah, go up to Judah. Well, where do you want me to go in Judah? Well, go to Hebron. I want you to go to Hebron. And so David sought God's plan here. Upon hearing the news of Saul's death, David did not begin to scheme and plot on how to snatch the kingdom away from Saul's family. He did not look to human methods or means to be established in the position that he had been chosen for. You know, the world's way is to scheme and plot, right? Scheme and plot to get ahead in life while leaving God out of the picture. No surprise, we live in a dog-eat-dog world, right? Where, you know, somebody, if it's necessary, people not be online to get their way, stomping on whoever they need to in order to get their way, and them attaining their own personal purposes for their life. But that's not what we're to be about, okay? We're to be about having God's purposes in our life, allowing Him to establish us where He wants us at. One may try to establish their life based on worldly, sensual methods, but without God, can I tell you it's all in vain? David did none of those things. The Scripture reveals to us God's Word to Saul in 1 Samuel 13:14. This was what God had told Saul. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And we come to find out later that that man was David, right? David was identified as this man after God's own heart. And as a man after God's own heart, David did not want his kingdom built upon deceit and lies, but rather he desired God to establish him in the kingdom. He didn't go about trying to get himself put into the position. I mean, even though he was anointed for the position, he didn't go behind Saul's back, trying to tear Saul down, you know, talk about him behind his back, didn't try to kill him, didn't try to have him killed. He waited on God's timing, didn't he? We've seen that. Now, 2 Samuel 5:12 says, look at 2 Samuel 5:12. We're not there yet, but this gives you David's perception here. 2 Samuel 5:12, and David perceived that the Lord, notice, had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. So David is looking at this thing from God's perspective. Once David realized that Saul was dead, instead of taking things into his own hands, notice that he sought the Lord for guidance. He didn't just say, okay, well, let's go, guys. Let's pick up and go to Judah, and let's assume the throne, and you know, we'll go wipe out whoever we need to wipe out, and it's Saul's family, to No, he didn't do that. Probably been very easy for David just to summon his men during this time of national confusion. Anytime your leader goes down, you got national confusion. And he could have attacked the household of Saul. He could have killed all of Saul's remaining family members, seized control of the kingdom. That would have been the world's way. But he was not about the world's way, was he? He was about God's way. David refused to take a step without seeking the Lord first. David had no doubt he had many choices laid out before him, but he wanted God's choice. David was looking for God's guidance or God's will. And that carries us to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. To be truly established, to process all that God desires for us, we must have the Lord's priorities in our life. That which must come first for us is seeking the kingdom of God. What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? That literally means to seek the rule of God in your life. That we're, hey, God rules my life. He calls the shots. In other words, Jesus is Lord. What's God's desires? What is His wants for our life? Not what we want. If we leave God out of the picture of our life will not be properly established. Whenever we prioritize and put God first, we must do several things. First of all, we must acknowledge that God is in control. Now, we like to be in control of situations, don't we? If I'm riding in the vehicle, I like to be the one behind the wheel. You know, I just do. I like to be in control. That carries over to other aspects of our life a lot of times. But we must see that ultimately we are not in control of anything. The Lord is. And a second thing, not only we must acknowledge that God is in control, but we must learn to wait on God. And one thing that most of us do not like to do is wait. We don't like to wait at red lights. We don't like to wait in lines. We've been spoiled because we live in an instant, I want it now, society. And it's that way more than ever before, and it's getting worse and worse, isn't it? It just is. People have no patience whatsoever. And we tend to carry this over when it comes to God implementing His plan for our lives. We get impatient, and if we're not careful, we try to take things into our own hands. God has His plan, and God has His timetable. We may want it now, but God may say, you know, you're going to wait a little while. It's down the road a little bit. David knew that God is the kingmaker, not man. And he penned the words in Psalm 37, verse 34, wait on the Lord, keep His way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. So it was coming. By refusing to take matters into his own hands, David acknowledged his faith, that God is the one who is in control of his life. David was not an opportunist who would stoop to any measure to ascend to the throne that had been promised him. He knew that God would prove faithful. God is faithful, isn't he? God's going to fulfill His word. He's going to do what He said He will do. And even if David had to wait a number of years for it to take place, he knew that God was good on His word. Now, the quick fix is not always the answer. God wants the glory, and often He does not get it through the quick fix methods. The question is, whose plan are you seeking for your life? Your plan or God's plan? So David sought God's plan. Second thing David did, David submitted to God's plan. David inquired of the Lord if he should go up to any of the cities of Judah. The Lord spoke to David and told him to go to Hebron. And that's exactly what David did. David didn't hesitate. David didn't question. David didn't hem-haw around and say, well, you know, Hebron's not really where I wanted to go. He didn't decide to go somewhere he wanted to go. Now remember that Ziklag had been destroyed by the Amalekites. Saul and his three sons were killed in the battle with the Philistines. But notice that the Lord did not direct David to wage war with the house of Saul. God didn't tell him, you go to Saul's house and wipe out all that he's got there. God didn't tell him that. Even though that's probably what his men wanted him to do. We know that's probably what his men wanted him to do because they were trying to do it while Saul was still alive. Here, you can take him out now, David. Take him out while you got the chance. But the Lord did not tell David to plan a coronation party. He wasn't going up there to ride in on a white stallion and have a crown on his head and present himself as king. That's not what he was there to do. The Lord did not tell David that he needed to build a palace. God did not tell David that he should appoint his heads of state. He just simply directed him to go to Hebron, and David obeyed the Lord. Now we must see that God doesn't reveal His total plan for us up front. If He did, we would not be able to walk by faith. We would instead be walking by what we could see and understand. I am so glad that God didn't show me years down the road what I would be facing. He showed me the first steps. Take those first steps. Just walk by faith. And, you know, I've gotten to where I'm at in the ministry here today, one step at a time. Amen. And that's just following the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do. David did not know all of what was going to happen, but he was trusting God to bring about His will for his life. Our lives will never be established until we learn to submit to God. God demands total obedience. So David sought God's plan. He submitted to God's plan. Thirdly, David was satisfied with God's plan. We know that David has been chosen by God and anointed by Samuel to be king over all Israel. David sought God's plan. He submitted to God's plan when he went to Hebron. And while he was at Hebron, he was chosen as king over the house or the tribe of Judah. Now, you know what a lot of people have done? They would have moaned and groaned about, well, this isn't fair. You know, God said He was going to make me king over Israel, and here I am just king over Judah. He didn't gripe and complain about it. A lot of folks would not have been satisfied with what God was doing at the moment. I can just imagine some would have gotten mad and said, well, God, if this is the best that You can do, count me out. You know, what if David had that kind of attitude? You know, but he didn't. David was satisfied with God's plan for the moment because he knew that God would do what He said He would do. If we trust God, we must trust Him even when we don't understand all of what's going on. In fact, we must trust Him especially when we don't understand all of what's going on. Remember Job. Job had all kinds of stuff. His life was coming apart in his eyes. From man's standpoint, man, the wheels had come off of Job's life, right? Loses all the kids, loses all his wealth, loses all his health. His wife turns on him. But what was his attitude in Job 13:15? He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job was basically saying, I don't understand why this is happening. It makes no sense to me. It seems that God's completely against me, but I'm going to wait on the Lord, for I am trusting in Him. Now, David knew that God would prove faithful in the end. He would prove to be faithful in what He had promised. Look at what the Scripture tells us there in 2 Samuel chapter 2. And look at verse number 11. It says, in the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Okay. You're looking at 7.5 years of more waiting. It takes a lot of patience, doesn't it? I mean, David's waited a long time already. And now that he's been put in as king over Judah, he's got 7.5 more years before he's king of all of Israel. What it looks like. Amen. And for 7.5 years, David reigned here as king over Judah, not Israel, but God was still working in David's life to bless him, to establish him. God had not forgotten about David and the promises He had made to David. Just that God was not finished with him yet. And can I tell you that God's not finished in your life yet either? Man, there's so many promises that God's going to fulfill in our lives, but we got to wait. God's going to fulfill them. He's going to fulfill them to a T. Now listen, God will not normally bring about His total plan to us all at one time. In fact, sometimes He shows us only one step at a time, but we must seek His plan, we must be submitted to His plan, and then we must be satisfied with God's working out His own timetable if we desire to be established by God. Amen. I hope that'll help you. And the things that you know that God has for you, but yet you have to wait. Amen. All right, let's pray for the needs on our prayer list. That's our Bible study for tonight. Let's pray for the needs on our prayer list, and we'll be dismissed.